Well, if you're like me, you've been itching to get out onto the state's lakes and rivers for a little ice fishing. But the season got off to a little bit slower start because of all the mild weather we have. But, man, that's a thing of the past. And we're going to learn what's going on in the area of ice fishing today with Gary Engberg, who joins us often to talk about fishing and other outdoor activities. You may have some questions. Have you ever done any ice fishing? Do you have some good stories to share? We'd certainly love to hear them. Maybe you have questions about what to do and where to go and how to do it. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post your question or your story or comment on our Facebook page. Maybe you've got a photo as well. Post it on the Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Gary Engberg, welcome back.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a pleasure to be here.
You know, before we get into ice fishing, John Keefe, president of the council, was on to talk about Bald Eagle Watching Days, which was this past weekend. And I know you're an eagle counter for the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. What do you see? Are you seeing a lot of eagles?
Yeah, Larry. It was. We start counting. The Ferry Bluff Eagle Council has 15 different locations up and down the Wisconsin River from Sauk City down past Lone Rock. 15 sites where eagles are counted every other Sunday from December through March, through the beginning of March. And we started out, you know, with the weather. You know, last year I think we had frozen ice and stuff the second week of November. But this year we didn't. I counted a location very close to with the dam where the water always stays open. And that's the main attraction for the eagles to migrate down here is we have open water, great valleys for roosting in, a lot of hardwoods. They can get out of the wind and everything like that. But the beginning of the year it started out, we had very few eagles up near the dam. The first count, I don't think we had any. Most of the eagles were downriver in the open areas because they had access to a lot of backwaters and a lot of places where normally they wouldn't be that time of the year. So it's just been probably within the last 2 weeks since we got our cold weather that the eagles have moved up more toward the dam. More have come down from different areas. The eagles come here from northern Wisconsin, the UP of Michigan, Minnesota, and also Canada. But now we got a lot of eagles down there. Like you said, we had the eagle days over the weekend, and it turned out very well. Marge Gibson came down from the Raptor Education Group in Anago with two rehabilitated eagles. One had had a broken wing, and one had had lead poisoning and was going in convulsions, and they didn't think that one was going to make it, but they both did. One was a mature female. The other was a younger male, about a 3 or 4 year old male. But the highlight of the whole day was, you know, releasing those eagles down to VFW Park back into the wild, and they flew away hard and strong and soared, and I think they were happy to get back out under them.
Oh, great story.
It was a wonderful gray day, and there was, you know, on a cold, real cold winter today, there was well over 1,000 people there for it.
That's just great. And of course, you can still, even though it was last weekend, you can still go out and see those eagles.
Actually, it's really good if you can get away during the week. It's a great time to come up. That you can call the Chamber of Commerce in Sauk Prairie. You can call get a hold of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. And every Saturday between now and March, there's bus tours going around to the various viewing areas, and I think for a few dollars you can go on a bus tour and they'll take you around so you can see some eagles, you know, up close.
We have, you can join in, by the way, if you have a fishing question. We'd love to hear from you as we talk ice fishing today with Gary Engberg. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Marsha in Middleton emailed, her family's planning on an ice fishing trip January 29th through the 31st in Stevens Point. And she's wondering if you have any ideas about what lakes around there, around the Stevens Point area, would be good choices for ice fishing. We're hoping to do both pan fishing and tip-up fishing.
What I would probably suggest right now would be the different flowages like Pete Noel and Castle Rock up in that area. Those are the areas, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people in preparation to see how the ice fishing has been. And it hasn't been the greatest quite yet, and I was wondering how ice fishing was going to be, because normally everyone wants to get on the ice for the first, you know,
first week.
You know, maybe it's kind of a macho thing or whatever, but there hasn't been, you know, really safe ice, and there still isn't that many places. I mean, there never is 100% safe ice. Let me clarify that. But up there at Peatonwell and Castle Rock are both areas of fish right now. They're not driving vehicles, but they have, you know, 6 to 10 inches of good solid ice. Fish the river channels that go through there. You know, you can find them if you have a locator or a decent map. Move around, and it's been a good bite. The crappies are supposed to be very good size, a lot of 12-inch crappies. There's also a good perch, white bass, walleyes, and northerns. So in the same general area, you know, you can jig and, you know, fish for your perch or your panfish, and within, you know, sight line, you can put out some tip-ups for those northerns and walleyes.
And Marcia wondered, she wondered about bait shops in the area. She said Golan Brothers Wholesale Live Bait, Cliff's Bait and Tackle in the Stevens Point area. I mean, those are always good places.
Yeah, I mean, you could just Google, you know, bait shops in that general area, and you'll come up with a lot of them. Gullens are basically wholesalers, though, and they sell to all the different bait shops. So if you get there out in Dodgeville, so if you go, it's G-O-L-L-O-N-S, I think. If you contact them, they could probably tell you the best bait shop to go to.
Yeah. And, yeah, the other one, Cliff's Bait and Tackle. Most of these people are more than happy.
Well, they want business now. They missed a good month or more of fishing time.
So ice fishing hasn't been all that hot for...
Well, Saturday, the Hera Fishing Club, which is a very, very old group, but a great group of guys. And matter of fact, they could always use some new younger members. And, you know, you can contact them. They got a good Facebook page. But they had their annual... ice fishing, kids ice fishing day on the Triangle, Brittingham Park area in Madison. A real good turnout despite how cold the weather was. There were people out there at 6 in the morning drilling holes for this whole thing. And they're catching fish there. There's a lot of people in the area, you know, all the way up to Lake Monona. But you're catching a lot of bluegills that are pretty small, and you really have to sort through them. Most of your fish are 5 to 7 inches, and I kind of like them to be 8 and over to keep. But if you have children just starting out, good place to go, because you will find action. And also, too, you know, Lake Wingra, you're going to find action there, too. And when you take children out and are just getting them introduced to the sport or just starting out, take them somewhere where they're going to catch fish, because the worst thing in the world, and it's the same thing applies to going out in open water fishing in a boat, go somewhere where they could get fish and have something tugging on their line.
Absolutely. Tim in Green Bay has something for us. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Well, yeah, I've got a story that relates to your previous program about Mendota, and that's ice fishing on Lake Mendota.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the time, we lived in Milwaukee, and we'd come over to go ice fishing early in the morning. One of the things we always did, because we weren't around every day fishing the lake, was to look for the locals and get to know the locals. One day we were fishing off of Maple Bluff, quite a few people out there. Nobody's catching anything. Well, way out in the middle of the lake, actually more towards Picnic Point, there's one fisherman out there, and he's sitting out there on a 5-gallon pail, doesn't move for hours. Now, in the meantime, we're walking around, we're looking for fish, and we come to the conclusion that he must be catching fish because he is not moving.
Uh-huh.
So we trekked all the way out there, asked him how the fishing was. He said, lousy. And as we were drilling holes, he sat there and sat there. He wasn't catching anything. We finally got our lines in the water, went down to the bottom, maybe a couple feet up. And because you're down 80 to 90 feet at that location, you're down quite a ways. And when you set the hook, you really have to set the hook because the line is so long. And so we were pulling as hard as we could and raising our hand above our head. And he said, don't do that. And we said, well, why? He says, well, you're signaling everybody else that you're catching fish. What you want to do, instead of setting the hook by raising your hand, pull it to the side. Go straight out to the side. He said, you'll still catch them, and yet nobody will know that you're catching fish. Well, it wasn't about 10 minutes later, some other people came out, and he says, reel your lines up. I go, what? Reel your lines up. You won't catch fish while they're here, and they're going to ask, how's it going? We picked up all our fish, put them in the bucket, and sat there. Finally, they left. We lowered our lines and started catching fish again. And I'll never forget that. That was we had quite a day fishing that day. We caught a lot of fish, and there was no competition around to take them away from us.
What you'll find a lot of times, this is Gary, by the way, you'll find people maybe sometimes all clustered up in an area, and sometimes that's almost good because they're catching fish and there happens to be a good school of fish in the area. But usually the best ice fishermen do like to get away from the crowds and do like to get off on their own. And nowadays, when you usually can use ATVs and stuff, your mobility is not an issue on most of your lakes. But I also have seen guys who will be out there, catching fish, and they're so secretive, they're slipping them into their five-gallon pail while no one's looking, so no one sees that they're catching fish. But Mendota is just starting to really freeze over. They're out to Dunn's Bar fishing, but I'd be very, very careful going out there because it needs to, it's always the last lake to freeze, but they need a little more ice because right now they're around 4 inches.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling, Tim. Appreciate it. Jim in Kenosha, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
About 3 years ago, a few of us were fishing on a golf course pond, and for about 4 or 5 days before that, it had been between 0 and 10 above, pretty cold weather. Suddenly, we had a warm spell. It turned 40 and sunny, and the snow started melting on the ice, and in that slush, there were thousands of these little gray flies, slightly smaller than a house fly. Yeah. Wiggling around in the slush, and I thought maybe my coffee was too strong or something, and I went over to the guy next to me 20 feet away, and I said, are these moving? And he said, I've never seen anything like it. So we started putting a few on our hook and catching fish. My question is, what were these insects, and how could they have lived in that close to zero weather?
I'm not sure exactly what insect it is, but there's a lot of different, bug and fly hatches on, especially lakes that have mud flats, and they'll hatch year-round. And usually, these days with, the sophisticated electronics they have, you can even pick up, sometimes you look at your screen and you'll see a whole cloud that'll rise up, and it's just a hatch of little invertebrates that are hatching. And usually, you find that's even in open water fishing, you find the bait fish, you're going to find the fish.
There you go. Gary, thanks a lot for calling, Jim. Appreciate it. Gary Egberg, our guest today, talking ice fishing and fishing in general with him today. He'll be with us till 12:30. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, and we'll be back right after this look at the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking ice fishing. We've talked about bald eagles and other outdoor activities with our guest, Gary Engberg. Gary is a professional angler, guide, and outdoor writer. I'm pretty sure, got a link to his sites on our Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, you can find out how to get on to his sites. It's always fun to have him with us. And as I said, zeroing in a little bit today on ice fishing, you can join in with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And just briefly for that listener who wondered about the insects, Brianne reminded me that Phil Pelletieri will be on next week. And so he will no doubt have...
He will know the bugs.
He will know the bug for sure. Austin and Woodman up with a question. So let's go to Austin. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. I had an old boy that lived across the street from us growing up in Woodman, which is a population 92, and he's never told us anything that was wrong, but he always said on Woodman Lake, I don't know if you're familiar with that, it's a part, just a backwater of the Wisconsin River.
Yeah.
He always said everybody's down there throwing spinner baits and top waters and stuff. He said, why don't you try jigging a worm? And I don't know that we caught as many fish, but I think we caught better quality fish. I didn't know if you had some science behind that or if that's true. You think fish get used to the same old lures or?
Mm-hmm. Well, usually I think what you're doing with whatever type of lure or presentation you're doing, you're trying to match whatever the forage fish are that those fish are eating in the area. As far as color goes, you know, like many waters, it's going to be black and silver or black and white to match like shad or shiners. As far as using, you know, lures versus using worms, live bait still, you know, a lot of times live bait is what the fish want. You know, usually if I'm guiding people or going out, I'm going to have live bait beside artificial. And also there's Berkeley in Spirit Lake, Iowa is a huge conglomerate of fishing companies. They make a product called Gulp, and they also make power worms and power bait, which are artificial, you know, type baits. They make them that looks like little wax worms, and then they make different minnows and worm type, but they're made with different natural ingredients and natural fish byproducts in them, and they seem to work very, very well. And what they do is, you know, they save you if you're ice fishing from constantly getting your hand wet. You can catch multiple fish, you know, on one bait where you don't have to bait after catching every fish. But it's a matter of trial and error. I would just, you know, be prepared and try anything, and don't be like, you know, don't be afraid to try something different, because, you know, fish do get, I think, accustomed to seeing, you know, the same thing all the time. But if they're in a, you know, an active or in a biting mood, usually they're gonna, you know, they'll take about anything that you give them, to you know, any offering you have.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot, Austin, for calling. Appreciate it. And Bob in Crivets up next. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to let you know a little information. I'm about 70 years old, and when I was about 30, I met a guy by the name of Bill Hollerson. He lived just north of, along the Mississippi River, Prairie Sheet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and we were out ice fishing together, and he said, okay, he said, Bob, see that car coming? And he had about, Bill had about 8 crappies on the ice, on, you know, it's about 6 feet of water, and I had 2. And he said, this guy coming here, okay, you're going to I don't know if you know him or not, but I'll introduce him to you. His name is Pinky, okay? He's Pinky Johnson, who made the original Pinky Lures. And he walked over by me, and Bill introduced me to him, and me being quite a bit younger, he said, what do you got on there for a line, Bob? And I said, 2-pound test. He said, oh, hell, you're not going to catch nothing with a clothesline like that. And he opened up his snowmobile suit, and he tied a piece of black sewing machine thread about 18 inches long on the end of mine and put on one of his jigs. And just like that, he had 6 crappies laying on the ice. And I said, aren't you ever breaking that line? He said, sure, but the few you break, don't worry about it. Sewing machine thread is cheap. Very interesting day.
Oh, it sounds like
it. Sounds good. Now what a lot of people are going down, they make special line just for ice fishing. It's called Ice Line. A lot of different companies make it. And the lighter the line, obviously, you're gonna do a little bit better, especially when your panfish are in a neutral or negative mood and finicky. But what a lot of fishermen do is they'll put a barrel swivel on their line. Maybe they have 2-pound test. Then they'll put on a barrel swivel, and then they'll tie a fluorocarbon leader on there to their jig, maybe a foot or two. You know, the fluorocarbon is invisible, and that seems to work very well.
Yeah, very good. Thanks a lot, Bob, for calling. Appreciate it. Sherman in Green Bay, you're next. Hi, thanks for calling.
Thanks for the show, guys.
Sure thing.
You're welcome.
Can you hear me?
Sure. Yes.
Years ago, when I started getting into fishing, I ran into about a 30-page pamphlet. A guy named Don Jeske wrote it, and Dick Rose was in this book. And he certified a monster northern up in Butternut Lake and Chain of Lakes. I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
I have not heard anything. I mean, there's always, you always hear stories about huge fish in different lakes. I know that Butternut Lake is a very good fishing lake. I think Joe Booker caught the state record, I think, smallmouth up there, which was over 8 pounds. So, I mean, the waters does have, will produce large fish. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you can find little waters if they have a little bit of depth and good forage fish. And they're probably not pounded too much where you can find, you know, big fish. And there's, you know, I think the Wisconsin record for northern pike is like 38 or 39 pounds. That's from Lake Puckaway a long time ago. So, You know, nowadays, I mean, you have a lot of regulations. Lake Mendota, northerns have to be 40 inches to even keep. And some places, you know, they're very protected. And it's not uncommon for, you know, to find a big fish. I know that in Lake Mendota down here, there's 50-inch northerns. They're going to go 30 pounds.
Yeah, for
well,
sure.
We have good luck off the Bay of Green Bay right on the, what they call Pete's Lake. It was all peat bog. It's near the what now is Suamico Highway B launch.
They've been
so
having.
We have pretty good luck in their ice fishing for them.
There's excellent fishing in Green Bay up there in the whole area. I just talked to Brett Alexander, who's a guide in the area, the other day, and they're just destroying, you know, walleyes and whitefish right now. And they do have a very, very. I mean, up now in that whole area, 50-inch muskies are common. You know,
right.
But the people are catching them regularly. There's, you know, there's 55, 56, 57-inch muskies being caught. Brett this summer, I think it was in August, was out on the waters. And if you want a good guide and go up to Green Bay, they provide everything for you. You know, get a hold of Brett Alexander, and maybe if we have time later, I can give you his phone number. But he's an excellent person. He, you know, has heated shacks, great shacks. They'll put you on fish all the time, move around their shacks regularly. But, you know, there's some big fish there, but the whitefish bite has really been fantastic, and there's a good big walleye bite early and late in the day.
Well, I know that the walleye, the muskie are prevalent in the Fox River because we were catching April walleye, you know, when they come in out of the, when the ice goes out, and I hooked up probably a 45-inch muskie. I got them all the way in the shore from land, so they're there.
Yeah. They're there. And when you mentioned Butternut Lake, I thought immediately of an old friend of mine, Jerry Buss, who caught a dandy muskie on Butternut Lake one day, and it was in that 45, 46-inch range, as I remember. Nice, very nice. He put it back, but it was a nice fish.
But if anyone would want to talk to this Brett Alexander and go ice fishing up in the Bay of Green Bay, and I'll tell you, he said the whitefish bite right now is fantastic. You can get a hold of Brett at 920-851-4214. Excellent fisherman, ice fisherman, guide, a great place to go without having to drive too far, depending on where you are.
Yeah, so 920-851-4214. And Brett Alexander. So there we go.
You can look him up. He's got a good Facebook page and a wonderful guy, and you know, he can put you on some good fish.
And as we're talking here, Garrett, what about you? Are you doing much ice fishing?
Not so much this year because the knees are getting a little banged up, but it really just with the late start and not that much ice right now. And even the backwaters of the Wisconsin River, where we usually will do some pretty good pan fishing and northern fishing, you know, has only been, you know, had good ice and probably in the last couple weeks. Crystal and Fish Lake out in our area are... they're just starting to fish them. Devil's Lake up at Devil's Lake State Park, which is a very, very good lake. And normally when you have ice, you can even drive out on it, but I wouldn't recommend that now. A very good bite for trout, brown trout, and panfish. And there are very, very big northerns because I've been with the DNR there netting in the spring. And, you know, some 20, 25-pound fish.
Yeah, some dandies. Sherman, thanks again.
If you want to see some, go watch that sturgeon spawn when they come up the wolf over there.
Oh, I have. I've been on the sturgeon guard.
Yeah, that is something. Thank you very much for calling. Great talking with you. We have Dan in Madison with a question. Let's go there. Dan, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm new to the Madison area, and I have heard that some of the fish can be contaminated. You should only eat a few. Is that true, or is it pretty safe in the winter?
Well, you can go on the internet, and you can find, you know,
Wisconsin
lakes
DNR.
That have the DNR lakes that have fish advisories, and there's you can most lakes these days, if you're eating it, they say don't, you know, eat it every day. Don't have your consumption limited to maybe once or twice a week on many, many lakes. And that's a precautionary measure, but I would check it out and make sure. But I've, you know, been eating fish out of the Madison Lakes in the area
forever.
40 years, forever, and I've never had a problem with them, and I really don't worry about it.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much. And there's a little bit different between the fish you catch, too. I mean, if you catch a bluegill or a small fish, typically the levels, if there are any levels of substances of one sort or another aren't as great as in a larger fish.
And a big, older fish, yeah.
A big, older fish is going to have a lot, potentially more.
But now they're going away, Larry, even on for your ice fishing jigs, everything, they're getting away from lead. They're going to tungsten, bismuth, all other different type of materials for ice fishing and open water.
Yeah. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Give a call. Dave emailed us, and he said that bug that was out in the wintertime might be what they call a snow midge fly, and that kind of rings a bell. Phil, we'll bring
You'll
it
find
up.
Out.
We'll bring it up with Phil when he gets here next week. And I think Brianne already posted Brett Alexander's information on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. If you're interested in looking at getting hooked up with him for a little guiding,
there's a really good local guide too who's probably fishing. He fishes every day during the summer, but 4 or 5 days right now is Ron Bearfield. He lives in McFarland. He has a great setup. He's usually always on fish, and you can get a hold of Ron at 608-235-7685. Great guy, great fisherman. He's a full-time fishing guide, you know, 365 days a year. He probably is on the water or ice over 200 days a year.
Well, that's a lot of time on the water. And it's come up, but, you know, this whole business about being careful out there. I had a friend who's on Lake Wisconsin, lives on Lake Wisconsin. Well, he was going out, so he tied a rope to himself, and he put on a life jacket and had some other clamps and whatnot when he walked out to test, because he was going by himself, which is the worst thing. The worst possible thing you can do. But he lives right there, and he had a couple hundred feet of life.
Well, do you want to always, Larry, I mean, a life jacket is a good idea, or the flotation suits they make now, which are made for cold weather, too.
Yeah.
But Lake Wisconsin, too, you got to remember that it's a flowage where you do have current running in there, and I'll fish some of the back bays, but I don't get out into the main lake that much. But you want to always, like, don't fish alone. Take a path out there that someone's been on before. If you're going out for the first couple of times on this relatively shallow ice, you know, don't bring children or dogs until, you know, your things are, you know, straighten out a little bit. Watch out for pressure cracks. And I'll tell you, always have a cell phone or tell people where you're going if you're going out alone, and wear ice picks around your neck. Ice picks are one of the most important things, and creepers on your feet now because there's no snow cover on the ice, but picks around your neck. If you happen to go through, you can always dig in the ice and get yourself out.
I knew somebody who went on Green Lake and was following in his car, new car, by the way, out on the lake, and he decided to take a shortcut and cut across. Well, he hit a patch where the car went through, and they got out. There were two of them got out, but then he had to, along with losing his car, he then had to get someone to come over and
get it out.
Scuba dive down and hook something onto the vehicle. And the cost of that, let's just put it this way, it turned out to be a pretty expensive day of ice fishing.
I mean, you'll see it happen every year where there might be even 2 feet of ice, but you get pressure cracks or you'll get honeycombed ice, and cars and ATVs and everything will go through. One of the best things that's come around, and matter of fact, a great guide from the Lake Superior area up in Bayfield, Jimmy Hudson, died, I think it's almost 3 years to the day, and he was a very safety-conscious person, and he had, there's a company called Nebulous, which makes a flotation device for your snowmobile, your ATV, and they can hold up people and your machine and everything, and very easy to employ. It's a great product. All the sheriff departments and anyone who is near water, they have them now. But Nebulous Company, it's a great product to get.
Nebulous Company. All right.
Nebulus.
All right. Let's go to Michael in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Michael. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm actually originally from southeast Oklahoma, and I just moved to the Chippewa Falls region here within the last couple years. Kind of got into the whole ice fishing thing, which is actually not something that's very common in southern regions, obviously. Bit of a stigma to don't go on the ice during the winter if there is any ice in the first place. But question I was actually having was, down there we would fish open water or from the bank during the winter times or even late fall and early spring, and we would use the same colors and same bait, things like that, for panfish and smallmouth bass and predominantly largemouth bass. But we were actually looking to see if, is that kind of the same basic principle here, or is it kind of a change where you should be changing up the colors based on the time of season? Is there kind of a preference from that whenever you go into the spring and summer?
It's a good idea to have numerous different colors because, I mean, if a different color doesn't work or you're not having any success, you know, in the first half an hour or so, I'll keep changing around till I find something that they may like or may want that day. The clarity of the water makes a difference. You know, there's a lot of different variables in there, but as far as baits go, you're not going to be using worms up here in the winter because they won't give you any action on your hook, and they're going to freeze up on you. Minnows are basically the same. You can use those, but there is a difference between fishing from shore during the winter and ice fishing, because most of your pan fishing you're going to be using wax worms, little spikes, and little type of larvae, and those are, you know, things that you don't use so much during the open water season.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, that's kind of one of those things that they actually don't really stock very often down there.
Yeah, they probably don't even know what they are.
I actually never had heard of what became known to me as a waxy. I didn't even know what that was up until probably within the last year or so.
We can also find wild plant flowers out here, goldenrods.
Yeah.
They grow and they get a little bulb type on them, and if you break them open, you know, you can go out and collect them because there'll be a lot of them in a concentrated area, and you can take the little larvae and little worm out of them, and you know, it's a way to get cheap bait.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
right.
I've caught a lot of fish on those goldenrod grubs that I got myself. Kind of fun, actually.
That sounds like an interesting idea.
Yeah, you can go out. I mean, it's a relatively tall plant, and then you'll see a bulge, and, you know, just take a little penknife or something and break it open, and you'll usually find, you know, a larvae or two in there.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, thanks for the information, guys. I kind of like the show.
Thank you.
Something that I'm very, very normally listening to pretty much every day. Always good information going on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You got a good ice fishing story for us, Gary?
I'm trying to think.
I'll give one while you're thinking.
Okay.
I was on Lake Mendota on New Year's Eve once, and I went out with a friend of mine, and it was evening or just getting to evening, and I dug the first hole, and it was a tip-up. We were fishing for walleye, and I dropped my minnow down, and I'm still on my, you know, set the tip up, the flag, and I'm still on my hands and knees, and I said, God, you know, this looks like a really good spot. And the flag came up and almost hit me right in the nose, and I pulled up a 10-pound walleye.
Wow. That's a wonderful fish.
I fished 30 seconds.
Probably about the only thing that happened to me once, and it was late in the season, and we had a permanent shelter on Lake Mendota, and we're fishing a lot of times at night. And, I mean, we had a stove and a couple of, you know, places where we could lay down in there, and it had been getting warmer, and we were out there in the middle of the night, all of a sudden woke up and looked, and, you know, we had 2 feet of water in the shack. And we managed to get out and get the shack out of there, I mean, the next day. But it can change that quick when the ice starts to go. And also, I was on Lake Wisconsin once talking about that, Larry, where we went out early in the morning, drove out in a truck, were fishing. By the time we went to go in the afternoon, things were melting so much and running down off the hills, the water was halfway up the tires. So that was, you know, white knuckle to try and get off.
Great stories, Gary, and it's always a great pleasure to have you come by. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, it's always a lot of fun. Gary Engberg, our guest. And if you go to his website, which we've got on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, but the website is GaryEngbergOutdoors.com.
Or just go to www.GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. And if contact me anytime, I can give you some great guides in the area. Good fishing, like I said, Green Bay, Mille Lacs in Minnesota. And they still have the Perch Patrol going out to Devil's Lake in North Dakota, where they are catching regularly 1 to 2 pound perch.
Oh.
And if there's a better fish to eat, I don't know.
I don't know it either. We'll have Gary back and we'll do this again. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.